by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net! Mamma mia! Lionel!
Romelu Lukaku now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Paterita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome into Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas, and a happy new year to all. And of course, everybody looking forward to 2021 and Austin FC's entry into Major League Soccer. Welcome in, everybody. Your humble servant, Glenn Davis. Thank you for our time on the radio here in Austin, Texas in the past year. And we're looking forward to continuing to bring you the best in content coverage and much, much more, including great guests. A big thank you, first of all, to all of you who are on the front lines. We know who you are. Thank you for that. Also, to all the listeners, callers, people that are posting over on Facebook Soccer Matters or on social media and Twitter, thanks for keeping the soccer discussion alive. It's been a lot of years, close to 20 years on the radio, and I love every minute of this. I'm a huge believer in soccer in the media, and again, looking forward to another great, great year. Big thank you also to Sam Pika, who has done the producing, BK, who stepped in as well, and of course, Aaron Hogan and The Horn in Austin, Texas, for believing in the sport of soccer as well. Okay, tonight we've got a couple of interviews. We're going to start off with Andy Lochnane, then we'll go to two interviews with Josh Wolf. Tonight, the entire theme is Austin FC and Verde. Thank you very much for being on the show again.
Well, thank you for the invitation again. Good evening.
All right. So we're going to start off. You and I were talking before we got on tonight a little about yesterday and kind of the finality of the regular season in Major League Soccer and what that meant to you personally. Just tell us about it.
Yeah. So first of all, I love Decision Day. It is literally, I mean, it kind of turns into a bit of a crazy day on the calendar. And I guess for me, it represented the close of the last regular season before we join Major League Soccer. And of course, we've got an exciting playoffs ahead. But yesterday's wrap-up of the regular season was a big milestone. I mean, that's one that we've been tracking, too, because a couple teams – sorry to your Houston lineage and listeners – but, you know, a couple of teams now no longer are participating in this season. And B, it's an opportunity for us to get one step closer. So, yeah, I guess for us, Decision Day represented one day closer to our reality of joining next season's regular season.
Is it hard for you to believe how fast this is going, or is it going in slow motion? For me, I think it's going fast. Now, I know you're putting in these crazy 16, 18-hour days, and that's essentially what was you were up against, putting this all together. But, you know, what did it go fast or slow to get to this point?
It probably goes faster than any of us would like, but yeah, I mean, we all work long days. I think that's one of the things that probably has been a byproduct of COVID. I think most people are probably working their job a little bit longer, for better or for worse. In our case, it's kind of an advantage, to be fair. Some of the working conditions and some of the limitations on travel and some of the ways that we're all more efficient, you know, for example, I've discovered that meetings start on time a little bit more regularly than they would have previously. I'm imagining some people have discovered the same phenomenon. That allows you to be a little more efficient. I'm finding that it's a little easier to put in that extra hour or 2 hours into the day without it feeling completely strenuous on other parts of your life that you need to kind of keep sane. So I know this is... it's difficult to try and find any upside in everything that has been our life the last 8 months, given how incredibly difficult this has been for most people and how challenging this has been for most people. But I suppose if there's one random light at the end of the tunnel, and that is this does allow us to build this business that so many Austinites are looking forward to. It's just created a little bit more of an efficient working model for us.
He's Andy Lochnane, the president of Austin FC. I just think it's wonderful how you've
engaged in how the city has responded organically. And you know, I've had a lot of the supporters groups on the show, La Murga, Austin Anthem, Los Verdes, all these guys and gals are just so jacked for this. But watching it and kind of looking at it, you must just say it's incredible the participation that's already occurred. You only have two players signed. A ball hasn't even been kicked. A stadium is being erected, but it is really remarkable just watching this thing sort of percolate into this thing that's going to ultimately just go boom.
And again, in all in the backdrop of what's been an incredibly difficult and challenging year for just about everybody. Yeah, the growth is, it's energizing. It's probably closer to inspirational than anything else. And I think for everybody that's listening to this program, I mean, this is important for everybody to understand. It does drive us to see people respond to the growth of the club, building out our partners, building out our infrastructure, building out our season ticket base. This is you know, the fact that it has a level of receptivity in the market is one thing, but I think everybody who's listening should know this. It's important to us too. Like, it is fuel for us. It's inspirational that you guys are behind us. So, I think some of the images that I love in particular is seeing our supporters congregate at the stadium, kind of that pilgrimage to their Mecca, you know, hanging out at our little soccer cathedral that's being built out. And whether it's a Sunday afternoon or, you know, after work on Tuesday, I know there's a lot of people who like spending time in that parking lot and cracking open a cold one and kind of thinking about what it'll be what it'll look like and what it will be like in less than, less than a year's time. So I think everybody needs to understand it is really inspiring for us.
Yeah, I love that give and take. It fuels both parties, as you mentioned. All right, so tomorrow, Andy, big day at the stadium. I know you got a lot of interviews there. You've got grass down. Tell us about what happens with you tomorrow.
Yeah, so we, for a lot of reasons, namely COVID, we've been extremely cautious about having media into the stadium. It's one of those situations where we just need to, A, focus on construction, and B, worry a little less about publicity, perhaps less so than anybody would desire. So we've had to be extremely conscientious, and it's probably one of those things where, again, a growing club would want as much publicity as it could generate, and a construction project can do that. So we know that there's been a lot of interest on media's part to get inside of the stadium. The last time we had a media day, and this is unusual, I mean, in a normal non-COVID environment, we'd probably have updates. You know, media crews would be in there pretty frequently, you know, maybe even once a month, once every other month. But the last time we were able to host a media day in the stadium was January of 2020. So here we are roughly 11 months later. A lot of progress to show. So tomorrow we'll be able to invite some camera crews in, take a look at the stadium, and hopefully appreciate some of the growth that's happened in the last 11 months. And I think most people who've seen our photos, seen our social media, seen the drone footage, there's a lot to be happy about.
All right. Lots of things going on around you. Let's talk a little bit about a jersey unveil that's going to ultimately happen here and what information you can give to the fan base.
Well, I guess what we've done is we've teased a little bit as part of a campaign that, you know, we anticipate at some point here releasing what will be the first ever Austin FC jersey. So I wish I could give you more, but I get paid to keep secrets. So hopefully the group is sufficiently teased. But our objective all along before COVID was to introduce our first ever jersey in time for holiday of 2020. And it became a little bit more difficult and a little bit more complex and a lot more challenging given what's gone on in the last 8 months. But I think we're going to be able to deliver on that promise to have a jersey ready for Austin to hopefully fall in love with across the holiday season. So that's our target. I think we're going to be able to meet that objective. And I'm really proud of the team who's put this together.
Has it been fun for you now to see kind of some of the parts in motion? I mean, you got Claudio working, the sporting director. You got Josh. You got Academy Games going on. You got the stadium now really getting polished and getting to that point now. Some of these things that are making it all feel closer. From being the guy who came into Austin and had to do a bunch of hiring of people to get it all in motion.
Of course, it's fun seeing the growth. Like, I think we think about growth maybe in the same way that most businesses do, right? Growth in our revenues, growth in our headcount, growth in our, you know, affinity. Let's talk a little bit about our staff size. You know, we're now a staff of approximately 70 full-time staff members. It's a little north of that. You know, we've had to be pretty mindful of all things going on globally, you know, with the economy. So our original staffing plan had us at a higher number than 70 full-time staff members when we originally built out our hiring sequence for launching a team. But nonetheless, we have to be ready for what will be the 2021 season. So as much as we have to be mindful, like any business would, in terms of costs and what's going on in the market, we are growing. And I know that makes us kind of an unusual business. But for us, we're all about growth right now. And in particular, we keep an eye on the infrastructure projects because, you know, we're not doing just one little construction project. We happen to be managing two. Sometimes people forget about our training facility project. So in addition to our $260 million privately financed stadium project, which by the way remains on schedule, we're also building another on schedule project, which is our $45 million training facility, which is about 5 miles from our stadium. And it's this incredible 4.5 field, state-of-the-art training facility that is basically the office for our players. And it's, it is beautiful. Grass is installed there. Grass actually got installed at the training facility about 10 days before the stadium, but it's beautiful to see the training facility. It looks like literally looks like an emerald jewel with all of the green grass. It's pretty spectacular.
Well, listen, Andy, we thank you so much for coming on. I hope you get some rest too. I know you've been putting in some incredible hours here. It from afar, it looks amazing. It's been great to see the reaction of the fans and the give and take between the organization. And I love the comment you made about each side fueling each other and driving each other. That's what it's supposed to be. So as always, thank you for coming on. Let's get you on again real soon.
Thank you, Glenn. Talk soon. Stay well.
You got it. So that was your president, Andy Lochnane. It has been amazing to listen to him and watch the moves that Austin FC has made here, getting to the point where we are months away from getting back, hopefully, to Major League Soccer action in 2021. So a big thank you to Andy for that. Again, our show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They're bilingual. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They've kept soccer on the air, both in Austin and Houston. We thank John and his firm. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Might get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle. You might drive an 18-wheeler. John Daspit, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. Stay with us when we come back. We start the first of two segments with head coach of Austin FC, Josh Wolf. Welcome back to Soccer Matters on the Horn in Austin, Texas. I'm Glenn Davis, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It is DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, John and his firm will handle your case. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. Getting soccer on the air and getting our next guest on the air. This is a look back to one of our interviews with Josh Wolf, the head coach of Austin FC. Josh, thank you very much, as always, for coming on the show. And Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you.
I appreciate that. Same to you. And always good. I'm glad we could make it happen. Always always grateful for the opportunity to jump on your show.
Yeah, we're loving having you on always and getting the great insight. For your family, like maybe most of ours, was it a different Christmas?
It was. We spent most of I guess there's six people in my family, including myself. So five of us were in Austin. My older boy was back here in Atlanta. So we kind of did a pre-Christmas in Austin and then drove here. We didn't really want to jump on a flight. So we drove here and we just stayed with our parents. And we've done a little bit of a Christmas here. So we're here for about a week and then we'll go back to Austin. But we got the whole gang together in Atlanta. And that's where my family's from, my wife's family. So keeping it simple, keeping it close.
How was the drive? Interesting. Do you enjoy a long drive? Did you think a lot of Austin FC on the way there?
Yeah, of course. I think I've been doing this drive a lot as a player from Chicago and Kansas City and DC, and as a coach, it's the same. Your mind goes back to what it only knows, and that's soccer. So we've had a busy, certainly a busy schedule up to this point. So constantly running through situations, a couple conversations with a few of our. You know, certainly our personnel with Claudio and Sean and Manuel, our scouts. So there's plenty of ways to kill the drive, but it's always in some sort of soccer thought.
So when you woke up on Christmas Day, at what point did the first Austin FC soccer thought come in your mind?
It doesn't take long. It's
you didn't even get through breakfast, did you?
It's tough. It's tough in that sense. But it's good to be around my kids and our family. So it kind of is a natural getaway, which is good. And it's good. We enjoy being in Atlanta. It's where we're from. All of our family's here. So you can escape, but it'll drift back to it from time to time. We watch soccer, you know, constantly, whether it's, you know, in our league or internationally. So it's always there. That's just what we've come to know.
All right, let's focus on a couple of the moves. I think sure. It's Johan Romagna. Am I pronouncing mm-hmm. his first name correctly? Johan Romagna, 22-year-old defender from Colombia. Tell us about him. Obviously, you ID'd him on Guarani, I would assume.
Yeah. It's an interesting process. Obviously, we got Rodney there, and we started watching Rodney back in January, and we obviously worked through that whole deal later in the summer. And I think, obviously, we were fortunate to have, when we signed Cecilio, that was a place that we could loan him back to. We needed him playing games. That was part of the difficulties of signing guys in the summer. We need them to play games. We need them to stay fit. So we were fortunate to have that. And watching these games, you know, from the summer on post-COVID. I mean, you're watching Copa Libertadores, you're watching the domestic league, and we're always talking about the players that we need, the puzzle that we're building here, the project that is Austin FC. And, you know, center backs are always going to be a big discussion, whether you acquire them domestically or internationally. And just as we go through the process and talk about targets and going after certain targets, we're seeing, Johan right in front of us. So it's... It gave us a lot of opportunity to watch him in games, big games against big time players in Copa Libertadores, so as well as domestic league. So difficult circumstances, home and away. And again, you get to see what the player looks like. Plus, you know what his history is coming from Medellin and coming to Guarani. It's a quick transition, but that's one country to another country, and you're seeing a kid transition well and perform really well. And these are just some of the questions I think you have when you're signing internationals. What's that, what's that transition going to be like? How does that player acclimatize to a new environment, a new team, a new country? So you get to see a little bit of that. And then his qualities on the field are things that we value. And there's the soccer component of what we expect out of a center back. And then there's obviously a dueling component when you don't have the ball. What's it look like in the channel and competing in the air, protecting the penalty box and so forth. So we feel like he's got a lot of qualities already in place. He's going to need developing, and we know it's going to take time as well. So we're mindful of trying to be as mindful of all those things as possible.
Now, Josh, you've put together a nice group at the back here with Sweat, Cascante, Romagna, Nick Lima. I mean, you got to be feeling pretty good about some of the defenders that you've basically got on the roster now.
Yeah, it's a good start. And again, I think when we talk about building out the roster, it's a balance, domestically and internationally. And certainly we're conscious of the ages of the players and experience in our league and not experience. But the middle of the field is the spine of the team. And it's really important to have that balance. And I think Alex gives us a real sturdiness in the midfield, a real leadership in the midfield, and just a real quality. He can stay in between lines. He can drop into the back line. And then you mentioned Nick Lima, Ben Sweat, Cascante. pretty experienced players in our league, and at good ages as well. So, excuse me, we feel like around, certainly around Johan, there's some experience. And our goalkeepers with Brad Stewart got announced today, and Andrew Tarbell, again, guys that have been in the league, guys that have experience, and players that are going to take on the way that we want to play when we have the ball, what it looks like. And we know that's going to be challenging. We know week to week that'll vary, but we feel pretty good about those pieces.
All right, another nice signing here. This one really opened my eyes. So when you got Alexander Ring from New York City FC, he's played over 100 times there, but he's also got that European pedigree at Kaiserslautern and Borussia Mönchengladbach. What a great pickup he is.
Yeah, we think so. I mean, there's the middle part of the field is challenging, and to have the qualities that Alex has and on the ball, what he can do, the calm that he can bring, his ability to break lines, his ability to distribute over distance, to stay calm in pressure situations. We've seen it, in Columbus. We saw it, a number of times. We had great battles against them, great games against NYC, especially when they had Patrick Vieira there coaching. So he fits the way that we want to play. He's experienced a lot of what we are going to want to deliver to our team. And, he'll bring a leadership on the field. He'll bring a professionalism off the field. And again, I think a real key pickup. Claudio has great, obviously great relationship with him. And I've spoke to him a couple of times, and he's a sweet kid, super hungry, and is very excited to join Austin.
Yeah. Nice age at 29 as well. Let me take you into Cecilio Dominguez, because, I've been watching some of those games in Copa Libertadores and trying to pick up on some of the things that he does. I find him a really unique player because he does do a lot of different things. How do you define him? Because, he's a guy that gets in the box. Is he a forward? Is he a withdrawn forward? How do you define him?
Yeah, I think he's it's funny and this is just me being an assistant coach in Columbus, and certainly with the national team, you have this idea of what players are, and as you're watching them, as you're scouting them, and when you bring them in market, when you start working with them, they also show other qualities that you weren't aware of. So I expect that we'll learn a little bit more about Cecilio. I text with Cecilio and Rodney quite often, so it's keeping that door open, that relationship, talking a little bit about the game. But he is unique. He plays between lines really well. He's very good orientating to goal, getting to goal. He can unbalance you with the ball. He also runs off the ball pretty well. But he has a real knack for scoring goals and being very clean around the penalty box. And those are game-changing qualities. Those are difference makers in our league. And we've seen what those players look like in our league. And there's a number of teams that have those. And we feel he can play as a 10. He could play wide. So I think that flexibility and variety that he brings us will be really key to what we try to do. And again, like I said, I think we'll learn some stuff about Cecilio when he's here with us. But we're excited by him. He's performed extremely well since going down to Guarani on loan. So we're excited for him.
Yeah, it's been very interesting to watch him just because of the variety of things, as you mentioned, that he can do. And he just looks like a different, one moment he looks like a 10, another moment he looks like a center forward. I mean, it's pretty incredible. It's exciting, I think, in a lot of ways. All right, let's just move into the whole Joe Corona thing. Just explain to people kind of, if you can, as much as you can, how that all worked, because, we all jump to conclusions sometimes.
Yeah, I think, there's a lot of mechanisms by which we're acquiring players. And we also have this puzzle that we believe we're building, and we are, understanding of what the expansion draft looks like, what the trade mechanisms looks like, what free agency could look like, what we're looking for internationally, what we already have, and obviously being aware of what the super draft and the college brings. So we utilized the expansion draft to find a few players that we felt could come in and contribute right away. And there was some risk, obviously, with Joe being an option decline player. And he has qualities that we liked. And if we could get him to a number that made sense for us and obviously made sense for Joe, it seemed like a great opportunity to get a very experienced player. In doing so, it turns out he wanted a little bit more money and to join Houston rather than being part of the Austin FC project. And that's his priority, and that's his decision. And At the end of the day, it's we also have this puzzle that we've been building out. So we have other options and we have other ideas. And because of the budget and the way that rosters have to be built, we were very mindful of what we could spend on the player. And, you know, we want players that want to be in Austin. And there are a number of players that want to be in Austin. And if he wasn't one of them, so be it. We move on to the next player. It was as simple as that for us.
Yeah, for me on the outside, and this is nothing against Joe Corona or anybody else, but boy, if you have an opportunity to play in Austin next year, you might have hit the lottery. But I love the way you explained that, because people will really understand that you brought him there for a specific number. You had to stay there, and this is the way professional sports works in Major League Soccer.
Yeah. It's the way MLS works. That's the fun part, frightening part, frustrating part of the roster build. But it's you learn a lot about your process. You learn a lot about the types of players that you need. And again, it's all with an idea of how you want to play and what you expect that to look like. But Joe's a great player, certainly has tons of experience, and I'm sure he'll do fine in Houston.
Well, you know, it's always interesting, because just when I think I'm starting to finally figure it out a little bit, something happens where I realize I'm not. So it's pretty interesting, and I can only imagine how much more work goes on really when you're putting this all together. All right, let's talk a little bit about what you mentioned there with the college draft. We're talking to Josh Wolf, the head coach of Austin FC. How have you been able to, scout the college game? I know you have tremendous contacts with all the coaches around the country. Without saying anything in your mind right now, do you have a couple of players that you're very interested in?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you fall back on. I think, you know, it's 2020 is an odd year. It's an odd year for us. It's been a difficult year for many, and in a lot of different ways that are more devastating than what we're having to go through. So we have discussions with, certainly with people that we know in the college space, people within the league, and our staff, Davey Arnault, Nolan Sheldon, Rodrigo, and Preston Brupa, who is our goalkeeping coach, to be named. So we feel like we have enough resources there, as well as Claudio. I mean, he's done this for a number of years as well now, and he did an expansion build out with New York City. So he brings that experience as well. And again, between all of us with Sean Ruby, our director of player personnel, we feel like we have a pretty good pulse on what it looks like. It's going to be challenging regardless, but we have certainly a few targets that we've already identified. And those are things that we're going to continue to explore and possibly, pursue a bit more.
This one might be a little bit of an edgy question, but who has the final say at the end? Let's say you guys are a little divided on a player. How do you come to a conclusion? Because most people are going to respond, it's a group effort, and I'm sure it is, but I'm just saying, how do you, if somebody feels strongly this way and somebody else this way, how do you figure that out?
Yeah, I think it starts with that, though. I mean, it starts with what our overall idea of the situation, of the player, kind of the pathway for the player. We talk about what role that player is going to fill and what their path, ultimately, if it's a young player, what their pathway can look like in our game model, in our setup. And, we know we don't have an MLS 2 team or a team that's going to be training right alongside us that we can get our young guys games. So we're trying to be mindful of that as well. But anytime there's a final decision, it's typically going to be Claudio and myself and Manuel and Sean talking about it. And I think collectively we get a pretty good consensus as to what makes most sense for the team. And at the end of the day, of course, I'll want players for certain reasons, and Claudio is going to have the ability to look at it from another light. Sean looking at it from another light, the build out 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, what's that look like? So it's constant education for all of us. And I think at the end of the day, it's good to have that disagreement, because it makes you have to fight for what you believe in, and also for them to define the boundaries a little bit. And those are good discussions to have, because it shows what we're in it for and how much we care about certain things. And again, it's educating for all of us. So at the end of the day, it is a collective. It's probably not the answer we wanted, where it's one person makes the decision, but ultimately we all have a say. We all have a responsibility to speak our mind and do what's best for Austin FC.
Yeah, love it. You mentioned, not having a USL team. What do you know about the under-23 league right now and where that is and or is that still something that really the clubs and the league are still in discussion with? Because that's a big piece, I think.
Yeah, no, it is a big piece, and it's certainly keeping in mind how our league has done developing players and continues to do a good job developing players. That's an important part, and I don't know much about that landscape right now, and obviously we're super focused on the first team and kind of building out that roster first and foremost, and we're aware of the pitfalls that lie ahead for the ability to get players minutes and keep them fit and to keep them sharp. So we're aware of that, and we're reaching out already to head coaches in USL, to make sure that we have pathways there for players. And again, through Claudia, through myself, Davey, Nolan, Rodrigo, we feel like there's going to be opportunities there as well. But long term, we expect to have a team, and I'm just not sure if it's 2022 or 2023. But I think that's something that MLS is certainly pushing down the road.
You're expecting to have an under 23 team in the future. That's what
I'm not sure the plan, if it's 23, how it's going to be designed. I think there's a lot of talks, and I think ownership is doing everything they can right now throughout the league to ensure, as well as MLS, to see 2021 get off to a good start, fans in the stands, and as normal as possible. And then we'll see what that looks like down the road.
Talking to Josh Wolf, the head coach of Austin FC. Is it coming to fruition? Is it crystallizing a little bit more now in your mind as you're slowly getting this roster built the way you want? And actually, in a lot of ways, all of a sudden, now you got a bunch of players on your team. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so. And again, it's been a year of us talking about kind of this last couple weeks that came. We knew that there would be a surge of players and a surge of signings. But again, the preparation over the last year is what makes this tolerable, makes this more digestible, is the word that I keep using, because we've talked to a lot of agents, we've talked to a lot of sport directors, we're talking to people internationally and domestically. So we feel like our plan, the puzzle of sorts that we try to build out Austin FC and again, a very responsible way, not just, thinking about 2021, thinking about the future, and then the way that we want to play. And we want our fans to be excited about the way we play. We want a winning team. We want to come in and compete. And that those things aren't done easily or quickly. So we feel pretty good about the players that we brought in. We are after more players internationally. We'll have a couple more signings in the next week or two domestically that are announced. And, we want to keep bringing in players that have high quality and high potential and are going to be able to bring us into the space in 2021, ready to play, ready to compete. And I look forward mostly to that, getting on the field. I haven't been on the field in a while. So our staff, we talk about it, and maybe we'll jump out with sessions and with the academy in January just to get acclimated again. But I'm looking forward to it. It's good to see players and faces and again, start having conversations with the players, because ultimately that's what I enjoy doing, what we will enjoy doing.
Last one before I let you go, and I want to remind the listeners, Josh was kind enough to do this as he's in transit and traveling, so we really do appreciate that. Josh is someone that I would consider a pioneer playing in Europe in many ways. What are your thoughts on, Christian Pulisic, McKinney, Tyler Adams, Gio Reyna, Claudio's son, all these guys making a mark now, and maybe maybe the American player being coveted a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I think that's what it becomes. This we become more of a known commodity, a valued commodity, a respected commodity in Europe. But it takes time, and again, it took some painful moments, some sporadic moments that players went there and performed, but. The collection of players that are in Europe right now is very different than anything that we've had. They have you named the names. They have exceptional quality, exceptional offensive quality. Whereas before we had a couple here or there, but when you talk about Christian and what he's able to do in the Premier League, and you're watching what Gio does in the Bundesliga, and you're watching Weston in the Serie A, I mean, it's impressive. And I've only mentioned a few, and there's another couple handfuls full of guys, and then there's the younger ones coming behind that. So again, some of these players came through MLS, they developed from our our culture of soccer, which you know, hopefully to everyone is motivating, inspiring. We're doing things in a good way. It's going to take time, but these kids get there with zero fear and nothing but the goal in mind of continuing to achieve more. And I think you've seen that. Christian did it at Dortmund. He's moved to Chelsea and is performed exceptionally there. And you see it with Tyler Adams at Red Bull. And again, a few of the others that I've mentioned, but it's impressive to see. And again, these players are playing in their domestic leagues. They're playing in Champions League. And it's, the future is bright. The future is really, really bright for U.S. soccer. It's a lot to be optimistic about. As I said, they're fearless, they're hungry, and they're highly qualified to be doing what they're doing. They're super technical players and really bright players.
Josh, listen, you've been a real gentleman to come on and make this happen for us. Thank you very much. And personally, I thank you very much. I hope the rest of your holidays are great. And here's to signing more good players for Austin FC. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Appreciate it, Glenn. As always, take care. Stay safe.
So that was our first of two segments with Josh Wolf. When we take this break, well, we'll come back with more Josh Wolf as we continue to talk about Austin FC and their entry into Major League Soccer here in 2021. And again, it's all brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. That's DaspitLawAustin.com. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. You can go to Instagram. Over at Instagram, it's also Glenn Davis Sock, SOC. I just posted a picture of when I was in El Salvador with a guy that I had played against who played on Alianza, who was also an El Salvador national team player, La Chalona, Jaime Rodriguez. When we come back, more Josh Wolf. We roll on. Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. Welcome back to The Horn in Austin, Texas. I want to tell you a little bit about a book that was written by a friend of mine who's become a good friend later on here. His name is Bill Brown. He's been a legendary baseball announcer, Cincinnati Reds, Houston Astros. But he wrote a book called Sportscasting 101. And for anybody out there who's an aspiring broadcaster, I'd recommend this book. There's a number of different stories about different types of broadcasters and how they got to where they are. It's called Sportscasting 101. Chapter included in this book on Texas Longhorn voice Craig Way, who's also on our station here, The Horn, and of course myself representing soccer, but number of different commentators from different sports. And I think if you're an aspiring broadcaster, this is a book you will want to read. Again, it's Sportscasting 101 by Bill Brown. All right, let's get into another segment here, our final segment, again, with Austin FC head coach Josh Wolf, brought to you by John Daspit and DaspitLawAustin.com. Josh, thanks for coming on tonight.
You bet. My pleasure, as always. Good speaking with you, Glenn.
Yeah, I'm honored that you're able to come on during what is probably an incredibly hectic time. I'm not thinking you're doing a lot of sleeping these days.
No, I think it's, again, there's been a lot of work done leading up to this moment, to tomorrow. So, I mean, the preparation's been ongoing. It's been in place. You have a lot of discussion with the other staff members. You bring in your high-performance folks. You bring in your sports science and data. So it really brings you closer together as a group and allows you to really focus on the details and the specificity behind what we're trying to do here with how we're building the club, the types of players we're bringing in, but also just our process by which we work. So it's a good process. It has some stress to it. It has some excitement to it, but it's starting to pay dividends, and we're starting to put a team together, and that's the most important thing, is putting a team that Austin's going to be proud of, be inspired by, and look forward to coming out to each and every week.
He's the head coach of Austin FC, Josh Wolf, and we're real fortunate to get him on here tonight with so much going on, including tomorrow's expansion draft. All right, so the club makes their first official trades. According to reports I saw, $1.175 million in general allocation money. Nick Lima, John Gallagher, Julio Cascante, Ben Sweat, Ulysses Segura. Let's start with Nick Lima. Boy, that's a good one to start with, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think Nick's shown a real progression in the league. He's obviously played over 100 games in 4 years. So quickly he got up to speed and inundated with the league coming from college. And so in doing that, he got 9 opportunities with the national team. So you've seen a good progression. You see Certainly we see a lot of quality in what he does at both ends of the field. And he's a superhuman being. Obviously, I got to work with him with the national team last year. But when you watch him week in and week out, he's a grinder. He's a fighter. He covers a ton of ground. They asked him to do a lot as the way that they defended in San Jose, and he lived up to it. I mean, he's a warrior. And when we think of what we're going to try to do with our fullbacks as far as their input and their productivity in the attack is going to be really important as well. So I think what I saw with Nick being around him last year with the national team was there's more there offensively than probably I first thought, with his crossing, with his ability to get to the end line, and also to score goals. So I think we got a very good player at a great age and with a real good amount of experience in a short time.
Josh, let's go to John Gallagher, Atlanta United. Now, I know this is a young man that played at Atlanta United too. They kind of converted him to an outside back. Seems to be a lot of versatility with this young man.
Yeah, I think John's interesting. I'll highlight Ben as well. Not all players come in from college and translate right away to the league. And I think John's been one of those cases where he came in, he got some time with Atlanta United too, had a little bit of success. You know, you make the transition from college to pros, and it's a bit of a stair step. Went to Aberdeen, saw some time, and what he did was he seized the opportunity when Atlanta United brought him in this year. Right away, he was able to make an impact. And you mentioned his versatility. Obviously, they played him as left wing, right wing, forward, outside right back, wing back. So we like the idea that he has versatility. But what we really like is his quality in and around the final third. I think he showed a real dynamic getting forward. His running off the ball is good. He gets two positions around goal, and he finishes off opportunities. And I think that's, you know, something for us. That's a very good starting point. And as we bring him into our environment and our game model, we think we can help make him better as well.
Had 39 goals at Notre Dame. Let's go to Julio Cascante, who played at Saprissa in Costa Rica. This is an interesting one as well.
Yeah, I think Julio is one of those players that, again, we know what it's like to play in Costa Rica. We've played against Costa Rican clubs in Saprissa, the pressure, the physicality. So he comes with a real good pedigree from where he comes from and the type of soccer that he plays. Played 45, 48 games with Portland. Majority of those games were in 2018 and 2019. So, Portland is a club that has great success, a pretty consistently strong team in our league. And he saw significant minutes this last year, not so much. But, when we peel back the layers and we see what the player looks like as far as his technical components, his ability to bring the ball into the attack, to initiate attacks, to bypass pressure, I think that's something that intrigued us. And then he has a good size, good physicality to deal with. Defending the penalty box and obviously brings a level of physicality that we're going to need. Our league is difficult. It's transition, and there's a lot of dueling going on throughout the game. So I think he'll give us a little bit of balance in that as well.
Grateful to have on Josh Wolf tonight here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. Soccer Matters brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com. Josh, left backs are always difficult to find. Inter Miami's Ben Sweat, you acquired him.
Yeah, I think Ben's someone that we drafted from Columbus, so we saw enough talent there back in 2014. And similar to John Gallagher, we weren't able to provide games, or we didn't have an MLS an affiliate at the time, so it was challenging for him to develop and get the game. So credit to him, he went down a league and saw minutes over the next 2 years that raised his level and certainly helped in his development. And then I think when he joined NYC, you saw a real uptick in the player's ability. And obviously the coaching with Patrick Vieira and the way that they played obviously enhanced his qualities. And Claudio's familiar with him. I'm familiar with him. And he's very excited to come. And again, he said left-footed fullback, left-footed side center back. He's even played as a left back. So, again, a pretty well-represented left-sided player and good experience at a good level with New York City, and has provided a lot of upside for that organization. And obviously he got to go down to Miami and experience what it felt to be like an expansion team. So he'll bring those experiences to us as well and hopefully help our players as well as our staff.
And a tremendous information here. We're getting straight from Josh Wolf, the coach of Austin FC. We'll go to DC United's Ulysses Segura, who you also picked up.
Yeah, Ulysses is he's probably the most flexible player, or at least he's been utilized in a lot of ways. Speaking with Nolan, speaking with Ben Olsen, he's a player that we knew from previously as well. you know, again, playing in Costa Rica at a high level, obviously played for the national team as well. So we get a player at a good age that's again, been in our league and has a good understanding of what it looks like. And for us, it's trying to give a little more specificity to what we will want our game to look like and how he can influence that. And we'll try to be pretty consistent with his positioning, even though he has played, again, a number of spots, winger, attacking mid, forward, outside back. But we like him in the middle of the field. Good physicality, really secure on the ball, and I think his ability to go box to box, but more importantly, to arrive in the final third and in and around the boxes is something that we want to encourage and try to define for him a little bit better. But super sweet kid, and again, he's extremely excited about the opportunities here in Austin.
Former Saprissa player as well. We're speaking to Josh Wolf, the head coach of Austin FC. So, Josh, when you're in the war room, take us in there a little bit, because, you know, we're envisioning all this extra work that's being done to monitor these players. You were talking about high performance people. How do you get a consensus as to, yes, we're going to go with this guy? What if it's a split decision with everybody in the room? Who has the final say? How does that all work?
Well, I think it's a great collaboration, and I think it starts with having an idea of how you want to play and what you think these players' attributes need to be to fit the profile of the positions that we're trying to talk about and discuss. And I think that's the starting point. And from there, we get dialogue with amongst the coaches. And some coaches had experience with the player, and Claudio has his experience as a sports director. And Davey and I, obviously, we've been around some of these players more recently, even some of them as players, but certainly more as coaches. And you use all this to kind of create a real assessment of what you're seeing. And then you bring in high performance as well, and you start to see the physical side and the statistical side from the performance as well as the physical. And that helps maybe not make the decision, but it helps give you the best information to make the best educated decision. So it's a lot. We were in our war room of sorts since about 8:30 this morning. So we're still at the office right now. We're going to go have a meal together, which is nice. But it takes a lot of certainly a lot of collaboration, and you don't agree on everything. But you get to a place where you feel like you're making the right decisions for the organization.
Josh Wolf, Austin FC head coach, joining us. How about the expansion draft tomorrow? When you go into something like this, what is the aim? A squad player, positional, someone with versatility? How does that work?
I think a bit of both. I think you're looking for balance around the field, and certainly value with some players. And the latter part of the day, we started fielding calls from other teams about opportunities for us to trade or to sign and trade. So you start to put those things into place and find what's most important for us and put it on the board, and you make a decision based on that. But, you know, I think first and foremost, we're looking for quality players. We need players, so we're going into it. We want five players. And if there's other options or better options that come along, we'll evaluate that. And again, it's about making the best decision for the club that's going to put us in a place to come and compete straight away in 2021, but also give us the flexibility, or at least the ability to make decisions along the way as well.
Josh, you said you want five players. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to take five players, does it?
No, I mean, I think you got to give yourself that opportunity. There's enough players on that expansion list that we can certainly select five players and feel really good about it. And we've already made, certainly we've got our list drawn out already that allows us to do that. And the point about the rest of the league or teams in the league is that, they also look at that expansion list and see players of opportunity, of value, of experience, or qualities that fit their game model. So we obviously have to be open-minded to what makes sense for us in player selection or, getting some value for some players.
A couple more quick minutes here with Josh Wolf of Austin FC, the head coach, and we really appreciate this. This is wonderful stuff ahead of the expansion draft. All right, let's talk about foreign players. I mean, obviously, you're still in the market for foreign players. I'm sure the pandemic has made that a little bit different, but you do have a scout based out of Poland, if I'm correct, in Manuel Junco. Tell us a little bit about, if we're going to see more foreign signings and kind of how that's working now with the pandemic.
Yeah, it's. I think the pandemic has obviously affected the international scouting, but Manuel is a tremendous asset for us, and his his contacts globally allow us to feel very comfortable about what we're trying to build here, the players that we're looking to bring in. And when we do have questions or when we do identify talent that we want to go after, he's able to get real intimate detail, not just about contract and about money, but also in pertinent information about the players, background, his environment. So we're in for a couple more players right now internationally as well. So that's all part of the puzzle. That's what makes this these days literally from 8 to 8, because you are trying to, you know, make sure you're thinking about all of these different mechanisms that by which we're going to acquire players. We're going from 2 players to about 24 players in a quick amount of time, but you need to coordinate those ideas and certainly the contracts and the types of players that you're bringing in. But we're excited with a couple of the opportunities that we have in the international market right now, and if we can get them across the finish line, they'll be players that will certainly make our fans excited.
You know, rosters in the league, 25 to 30 players. How many of these players over the breadth of the roster have to be capable of playing multiple positions? Is there some magic number there?
No, I don't think there's a magic number. I think you like players that have some versatility. I think you look and see what's going on here at the end of the year and the players that are playing. It's a long season, and with COVID or not with COVID, it's difficult. So you need depth. You need players that can can adjust to what the game calls for. And sometimes you get that with a player that can do it in game. And sometimes you need to step to the bench and try to bring something new to the game. So I think, you know, ideally you want some guys that have some, you know, some versatility as far as if they can play outside or inside or play, you know, attackers that can play in the back. But we evaluate that. But first and foremost, we're trying to find people that are extremely qualified, extremely talented, and can play the one position really well. And then if they add a little bit of qualities in other ways, then that's a bonus for us.
I know this may be putting the cart before the horse here, but reserve team and under 23 league, is there any more clarity to that and how that will work with Austin FC in the first year? Because that's a necessary ingredient, obviously.
Yeah, I think so. I think you see in the league there is, you know, some clubs or a lot of clubs have a real thirst to ensure that you know, they have the support of their USL team or their MLS 2 team. And I think that direction from the league is very clear. We're focusing right now on building our first team. We will have and continue to have discussions about an MLS 2 team or a partnership next year. But I think in the short term for myself and for what we're building, it's all eyes are on this player acquisition process here in the next 2 weeks. And we're excited. It's coming together. It's fun to see players now on the website and obviously being distributed. And it's just a nice thing. It's been a long time coming, and I've been in Austin since January. So we're almost there. We almost got 11 players, but slowly but surely we're going to get there.
All right, last one, and I'm going to let you go because I know it's been a long day and you've been more than generous with your time. Some thoughts on the new jersey, because I think it's wonderful. I think it's an amazing jersey.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love the color. I love the texture. Again, I think it is what you feel Austin is. It's strong. It's authentic to who is in this community. And I think it reflects a bit of what we're building here with the organization, with the stadium, with the training center. It embraces a community that's up for the challenges, is up for the work, and is genuinely excited about bringing in their first professional team. And the jersey sales, the all of our sales for all of our apparel is through the roof. The ticketing sales here in with the stadium, with our season tickets, and it's just been tremendous. The support has been, you know, overwhelming. And the stadium's come along. It's going to be done hopefully when we know the season's going to start, but it should be done sometime March or April next year. And I think it's also going to be a great a great attraction for the fans, with the players, and something that everyone here in Austin is going to be proud of. But the jerseys are beautiful. I think they're fantastic.
Well, Josh, listen, best of luck tomorrow in the expansion draft. We're looking forward to see who you select in that, and also a tremendous spokesperson for the club, I have to say. So thank you very much for giving us time tonight on the show.
My pleasure, as always. Thanks, Glenn.
That'll do it for Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas tonight. A big thank you to Sam Pica producing. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, the presenting sponsors of this show, DaspitLawAustin.com. 512-865-6710. Our guest tonight, Andy Lochnane, the president of Austin FC, head coach Josh Wolf of Austin FC. Hit us up on the podcast, hornfm.com. You can go back to the very, very first show that we ever did. You can also hit me up at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. You can hit me up on Facebook, Soccer Matters. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock, and glenndavissoccer.com. That's the end of the shameless promotion. For producer Sam Pica, I'm Glenn Davis. On behalf of the firm, thank you for tuning in tonight on The Horn.